the Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 60. We are the White Diamond episode. So welcome, guys. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, checking us out on heroesasylum.com, where you can also find our Facebook group, our Twitter page, and also our Midnight Movie show with who Kane runs that show, who's right here with me. How you doing, Kane?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
You know, it's Sunday. We're having a blast this weekend. We've busted out a new midnight movie for your podcast. So guys, please check it out. I don't think a lot of people realize that these are separate podcasts. Kane's got his thing going with the midnight movies. I join in with him, and we're both through the Heroes Asylum. And so just check that out. It is on a different streaming service than this one. So look for Midnight Movies and you'll find it. You can go to the heroesasylum.com and find the link for it as well. So make sure you guys check that out, because it is some, we always have fun doing those. Right now we're doing a Marvel watch along for the 12 months. And then we're also doing like a random cinema, different type of cinema stuff other than comic book movies. And last night we did the ever pleasant Demolition Man. So, and we got an explanation on how to use the three seashells. So
unfortunately
for you folks at a TP and you don't want to run out and use your lawn later on. So, you know, check that out. There might be a good alternative for you.
Yep. There's always a good one out there.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the real explanation of three seashells, which is, I kind of like our explanation better.
Our explanation was better. But we're not going to share that, guys, because you guys got to find out what our explanation was on Midnight Movies. And like I said, it's the Demolition Man. We've got 30 episodes out on that page, I think, right now. So yeah, there's quite a bit. I mean,
quite a few up there. Yep.
We did all the Star Wars movie watch-alongs except for Rise of Skywalker, which I've got some news to talk about that here shortly. We also did some Batman watch-alongs and just always some fun stuff we've done on that one. So,
yeah, it's always a good time on the Midnight Movies.
Pleasant.
So come check it out, kids. It's a labor of love for yours truly.
So we're going to jump in because we've got some news and we've got an interesting subject to cover that kind of crosses streams in our genre that we like to talk about. Kane and I are going to cover what we think, which wrestler would be best translated over to being in a comic book series or even maybe a movie, but we're going to get to that after we get done with the news. So I'm going to hit the news button and then we can jump in.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, Kane, what do you got for our first go-around on our news?
Well, guess what? Finally, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We finally got a release date from the three Jokers. Jeff, John, and Jason Fabok's book, which has been brewing since 2016, has been finally given a release date, and it should be in stores on June 17th.
Awesome.
Kind of the background in this powerful emotional story, Batman, Batgirl, and Red Hood all, past victims of the Joker, work together to solve a mystery unlike anything they have faced before. So that's the prelude to Three Jokers. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, we've been hearing about this book for a while now, and now that we finally got a release date, let the speculation begin. I guess the biggest speculation that I've heard, it's going to be the three different versions. I heard it's going to be the... I heard it's going to be the Dark Knight Returns Joker. I guess you call him the Glammy Joker. It's going to be the Chaotic Joker. And I think it's a futuristic Joker from what I read. I don't know if it's going to be the Batman Who Laughs. That was mentioned, but I don't think it's going to be that. But yeah, it's going to be coming out finally. And Geoff Johns is on it. So it should be interesting. You know, I didn't like his Doomsday Clock run, but he's still hitting about 90%.
Yeah, there were some nice little Easter eggs in the Doomsday Clock. I think it was more just the production and the release schedule for him that killed it. I think if it ran a little bit more consistent, I think we would have liked it. Do you know if this is going to be part of the Black Label, or is this just going to be straight up DC?
I think it's straight DC. It didn't mention anything about the Black Label.
Okay, cool. I'm a huge, massive fan. I'm waving the Black Label flag, from day one, and still right now I am. And this is, I got to be honest, because I know a few shows ago I was making this comment, and I still am this way. I am Joker burnt out. I'm Harley Quinn burnt out. So no offense, I'm a little Batman burnt out too, but this book is one of those rare ones. I've been like, you know, I really want to see what this is. I like the idea of what, just of what little we've heard, and I'm interested to see what direction they go. So I even being a fan of being burnt out of this stuff, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a little jokered out as well. I mean, I'm one of the guys who firmly believes that the Joker should be put away in the toy box for a while, let him rest, you know, give him his due, so then refresh him, bring him back later on. But, you know, this is one of those books, as you said before, that, you know, I've been looking forward to. And I'm very piqued how they're going to do it, because the big thing that was mentioned, I forgot what run it was when Batman sat on the Mobius chair and he was asking the question who the Joker is. And the answer was 3. That's all it was, just 3. And, or he left the chair, he found out who he was, and then the letter 3 or whatever. It was something, I forgot the run it was, but that's the big thing. And now we're finally got the payoff, I guess, 4 years later. So look for those on June 17th. I'll be definitely in Acme in line getting my
comic. Yeah, definitely. I'll be for that one as well. It's probably one of the ones I'll get hardcover, not just digital. Finally. Well, no, I always pick up some. I just not all.
I don't pick all my books
up that way. The ability to just whip out my phone or pull out my tablet and I can read it. I can start busting into a series right then and there. I know. But speaking of the 17th, not June 17th, but March 17th, actually this coming week, if you're listening to it this week, it should probably be either today or tomorrow for you guys. Star Wars Rise of Skywalker digital release will come out. Yes, folks, digital is out first before your DVD, old school hardcore guys. We got one of our friends is like, I don't do digital. I'm like, oh, that's your fault then. That's your loss. I get digital. I get it sooner than you, but that's okay. But what's coming out for the digital will be released on Amazon, Video Prime, Vudu, iTunes, and Fandango now. You'll be able to get those. But again, we've all seen the movie. We already know what's happened. What I'm looking forward to is in Star Wars has always been great for this, whether it was Lucas, whether it's Disney, the special behind the scenes stuff, the making of and stuff like that. They've got a bunch on here. Ranging from one called the Skywalker Legacy, and it's just basically story. You know, the story lives forever, and it's just this full length documentary about, you know, the making of this movie, and it's the connection through all the other 8 movies. Also, Aliens in the Desert. We go to they show how they created the Bizana desert scene, where I think it was the Festival of Life is what they were calling it.
Yeah, the Coachella planet. That's what I called it.
Basically, yeah. And then the EO Key to the Past, which explores the ship that connects Rey to the mystery of who her missing parents were. Then Cast of Creatures, which basically, you know, they go through and check out all the creatures, which, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, that means you're a sci-fi fan and you love watching those, the prosthetics and the digital magic that they do to make all these amazing creatures. But then the one that I can't wait, and this is going to be a tug on the heartstrings, is Warwick and Sons. And it's a documentary with Warwick Davis, who played Wicket, Star Wars, the favorite Ewok from Return of the Jedi. But he redons the Ewok costume. Once again, we saw him in the final scenes of the movie. But this time he's actually joined by his son, Harrison, who was actually Wicket's son. So it was a father and son. Moment. That was one of those behind the scenes. Like, most people didn't realize that not only was that Warwick, but he got his son to play his son. And so there's a little, you know, heartstring tug there and, bringing it full circle, so to speak, since this is the end of the series. So that is what's coming out on for the Rise of Skywalker. Hate it or not, you got to at least grab it for the, at least for the special features, which there's been some
special editions are always pretty good.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not just a special edition, it's just special features that are in it. You can get the special features on all of them. So, and then the regular DVDs for everybody else, the Blu-rays, the 4Ks, whatever you guys want, that's going to come out on the 30th of March. So make sure you guys get your stuff ready.
Yep, make those room on the shelves. So,
And then, of course, make room for the eventual, around Christmas time, the massive box set of all of them with all the back special features. You know that's coming.
Oh, yeah, that's coming. That's going to be...
That may be one I will buy, because I do have...
I don't even know. It's the funny thing about it. I don't own any Star Wars movies, if you can find that hard to believe.
No, I know. Because every time we do movie watch along, you're like, Mike, can I get that movie from you? Yeah. So you got no movie. But,
no, I don't have them. But I think with the last trilogy coming out, I think I'm going to break down and get all 9 just to have them, you know. kind of like the Godfather trilogy, just to have it.
Yeah. I've got a digital copy of the Godfather trilogy. For some reason, some of the digital copies I have don't have the translations, like especially Godfather 2. You need it because half the movie's in Italian.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
I'm like, you son of a. So that's one I have to buy, like my Hunt for Red October, you know, that's not the full movie, but like at least the first 10% in Russian. And I'm like, crap, man, why do they do this? But I know on Vudu right now you can get all nine like in a bulk kind of a set. So if you guys are those digital folks, I'm still on the fence. I'm digital comics, so I'm still on this fence about the movies. It's like, do I want to rely on digital? Like that will that product still be there forever, or will they go away, or do I have to?
I'm on the same wavelength you are. Like I still have my physical copies, but I haven't bought a physical copy in a while of the digital media. I haven't bought in like in almost a decade, but
no,
I still buy it, but I haven't bought John Wick 3. I'm not going to buy Justice League, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to buy them.
But honestly, the last one I bought was The Big Bang Theory, the whole series. And I know a lot of people out there are like, that's not you, you're a bad geek for liking that. But it's funny. I like it. Some of the references, but
it's got moments.
When I bought that from Vudu, I got the digital copy and then they sent me hard copy. Which I thought was awesome. I was like, really?
How this is cool.
Huh. Yeah, I was like, I actually now have a full box. I mean, it's a massive box of all the whole series, but I've got it online. I can check it out. So, but we'll move on from that. So what do you have next, sir?
Well, guess what? Our first look as The Boys Season 2 is going to drop. No release date. They gave us our first look as Aiyah Cash, I believe that's her name, as Stormfront. If you know who Stormfront is, according to this, he's an even bigger asshole than the Homelander. But in the comics, he's actually a man. But, in this generation, it's going to be played by a woman. So we got our first look at Stormfront. And, to the comics, according to the comics, she's just as powerful as Homelander. And she's basically going to be grenade throwing right into the middle of the Seven. So it should be interesting to see how she, connects with the Homelander this season. Because the Homelander was the biggest piece of crap in Season 1. And they're saying that she's going to be even worse than the Homelander. And I can't even imagine if you're going to be worse than him. So it'd be interesting.
The character definitely is in the series. There are other ones that are bigger assholes. If you actually reading the graphic novels, there's a couple other ones that are just like, just as bad. They toned them down in the show to make Homelander like the alpha dick. Now, as far as the sex change, I don't understand why. As long as it's performed and kept to the same consistency, I've got no problems again with sex changes. I see him as a waste of time. I think Scarlett Johansson probably said it best, that she believes in getting superheroes out there, that female superheroes that stand on their own and that are not Batman in high heels. And to me, doing a sex change to a character is just that, is being that character, just putting high heels on that character. Create new ones, use the ones you have. But again, that's my opinion. But I just think, and it sounds like Scarlett Johansson has the same opinion. It's coming from one of the original female superheroes on in the movie realm lately. So
yeah. Well,
but I'm looking forward to it. As long as she does great on the character, I've got no problems with it. I find it, the whitewashing or changing of the God, we haven't talked about it in so long. I can't remember the reference term or the hip term to call it, but yeah, just the changing of the sex or even the race, just to me, it just seems like a waste.
Yeah. I mean, like you said before, there are other characters they can do and make and establish as their own. Like ScarJo is established as Black Widow and the Stormfront character is a guy in the comics. So like you're right. Like you said, I mean, if she does a great job and she kills it, great. But I just think it's kind of unnecessary. It would have been cool to see like another dick plus Homelander, character should be Black Noir, by the way. I mean, according to the comic books, because Black Noir is the real. If you read the comics and read it deep, you find out who he is. And I hope they go into that storyline.
Well, they've sort of, I've noticed that they've sort of meshed some characters together to be, like one character be this way and another character be this way. And then they just kind of mesh him for one person to kind of carry both those characteristics. It's been a while since I've seen the show, The Boys, and I only watched it the first time. And I remember the one character, I was like, they're kind of putting this one person to be these two characters. So maybe that's what they're going to do with her.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. Yep. There's no release date on Boys season two, but if I had a guess, I would say maybe before summer, maybe May, maybe June.
Possibly, because I think they were pretty much done, you know, before the close down of pretty much every production going on right now. Yes. For you know, those of you in the know, actually, yeah, so the show's July. Yes, yeah, so they're talking July 2024.
Okay.
Oh no, sorry. That's another movie I'm looking at. Sorry about that. That's not it.
But that would fit around the time frame too, because when they released season one last year, and that ended, they basically were showing pictures of like, hey, guess what? We're working on season two. So they should be done, and hopefully it's ready to release pretty soon.
Hopefully. Yeah, they're only doing they only do 8 or 9 episodes, so it's not like they have a huge production time. But you know, again, you know, like we're kind of hinting at, you know, there's a lot of productions that have been shut down right now. A lot of releases postponed because they don't want to hurt their sales. They'd rather hold off instead of releasing it. These movies that are already done, I think right now the only one that has not said that they're not releasing is actually the one we were just talking about, was Black Widow. That one still is chugging out, going to be out in the theaters, but other movies such as, I think the next James Bond movie is going to be postponed. I think Bloodshot just came out, so that made the cutoff. But even Bloodshot's getting hurt with ticket sales because people aren't wanting to go out to the theater, so that's why we're getting postpones on releases on top of a lot of shows and TV or movies and TV shows. Their production has stopped because they're wanting to break up everybody, get everybody away for a couple of weeks, you know, keep the, hopefully if they're, you know, if anybody caught it, they can get rid of it before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that. Lots of TV productions got stopped as well. Supergirl, Batwoman, The Flash.
Even your Batman, movie.
Yeah. The Batman is Shang-Chi is another one. Supernatural only has 2 more episodes to film, and that they stopped production. So I guess we're going to have the boys around for a little bit longer.
Yes.
And that's the only ones I can think of right now that were in production.
There's a long list. I don't have.
There's probably a couple more.
We could sit here for 10 minutes, probably run through the list, because it was a lot of productions that kind of halted, which is fine because that kind of gives some people a little bit of time to do things on the backside of it, get other things wrapped up. So, you know, stay at home or do whatever in their office to where they're not around people, but they can like tighten up maybe some of the production quality, which I'm perfectly fine with. And of course, you know, we were talking about Black Widow. Got a chance to check out that trailer. Did you?
Yeah. I'm going to be dead honest, man. I think I said last year, like, I didn't think I wanted to see a Black Widow movie, but then, you know, Kevin Feige, he always does it to me. He does the rope-a-dope to me. He does it every single time. He releases his last trailer. I'm like, ooh, now I want to see it. And not just to see it because of ScarJo being in it. She's great. She's hot, you know, whatever. But the Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah.
I never, like, if you ever seen the Taskmaster in the comics or in the Spider-Man animated series, he was kind of a goofy kind of character. Like, he wore like a skeleton, had a hood on, and he basically could mimic all your fight moves. And I thought, like, oh, he's going to be in the Black Widow movie. Like, how are they going to translate that? But, you know, the guys at Marvel, they find a way to make him cool. And I'm not sure if you've seen this meme or somebody made a video on YouTube that basically that depicts, you know, what Taskmaster really is. And it shows him like copying several of the Avengers moves. Like he had the bow and arrow from Hawkeye. He has the sword from somebody, Thor, the shield of Cap, and the guns of Black Widow. And it shows the movements that are very fluidly similar to some of the Avengers. I'm like, wow. Okay, I'm in.
Well, yeah, this is the movie. If we ever wanted to know what it was like Black Widow fighting all of the Avengers, we get to see it. Yep. And that's how I can't wait. And then, of course, I mean, just the cast alone, Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, Rachel Weisz, which I don't see her much. And then any of you Stranger Things fans out there, David Harbour is going to be in here. Yep. You know,
and Red Guardian. Yeah. Can you believe Red? We're going to see Red Guardian on the screen. That's just insane.
Yep. And then you're going to have a slight return, but of Robert Downey Jr. showing up as Tony Stark. So I'm pretty sure we'll see like maybe at the end of the movie, maybe a tie in to the Avengers or to the, you know, to the rest of the series. And hopefully maybe God, yeah. And this is my hope of hopes. Maybe the final scene is showing her reawakening and she's not really dead.
That'd be cool.
I know. Maybe, it's a hard hope, and I'm okay with it. I'm gonna accept what they do, but that's my. I was loved because I thought she was the one person that shouldn't have been killed off. I thought it was a waste of a death, and then of course a waste of people not caring. It seemed like nobody cared about her after she died. Yeah. Everybody was all about Tony. And I'm like, hello, what? Natalia, she kept you guys around when Tony was stuck out in space. She was the Avengers. She was the original female. So to me, I just thought her death was like second rated to the rest of it. And I thought
I'd be okay if she came back.
Me too. I was hoping.
Because Robert's not going to come back. Chris is not going to come back. But, you know, her coming back.
Will come back for guest stars, I think. Guest spots like this. And I think
maybe he'll be an AI. I think we've talked about it. I think if he comes back, he'll be like a Jarvis type of character. He won't be in a suit, just like an AI. So, yeah. What's the release date on Black Widow?
Is it May 1st, 2nd. I think it was like beginning May. I didn't have the release date on there. But I knew it was like beginning May, because I think that's why it hadn't been canceled yet, because it was still, because they're all just thinking a month right now, because or at least until the end of this month. And so I don't think they had I don't think that's why they pulled her yet. So release date, take it back, April 24th. End of April. So we got another month, you know, and again, pretty much everything recently has been canceled. All the Comic-Cons have been canceled, E3. So you're not going to get your release date or your release videos of your Batman movie. Sorry about that. That one got canceled out. I saw the first second I saw that, I was like, oh, Kane's going to be pissed.
It's just another delay. I mean, every time they drop news about it and I get excited, and then you brought up the idea like, hey, maybe they're going to release it at E3. And I was like, oh, okay.
They actually said that they were going to. I read it. And then with the E3 getting canceled, our convention got canceled, folks. If anybody's listening that maybe was trying to come out, I didn't mention that beforehand, but our KaiserCon, it was supposed to take place this coming Friday and Saturday for March 20th and 21st. That got pushed back. We're not going to do that until June 12th or 13th. So, you know,
we'll start to prep up. Yeah.
Yeah. More time, you know,
more time. So, yeah.
But
we'll still be there.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely be there. So yeah, we have that. What do you have? You have anything next?
I have one more thing. It's not really a news story. It's kind of a thing that I'm kind of shocked you didn't say, unless you said it last week. No, wait, you did say it last week.
Ooh.
I take it back. I was thinking about Max von Sydow, but we talked about Max.
Yeah, did talk about Max.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. All right, Harley Quinn. We were talking about this earlier. Harley Quinn, the amazing. And we're not talking about the movie, folks. We're talking about the animated series that's on DC Universe. Check it out. Do yourself a favor, especially if you're a Harley Quinn fan. This is the Harley Quinn you want. We were talking about it, you know, going, God, you know, that's done. DC's got nothing really slated to come out. Stargirl's coming out, I think, in a month, but really didn't have anything else. They announced Harley Quinn season 2 will be back April 3rd. And they have a small trailer of it, a small clip of it out there. So make sure you guys check it out online. It's just a quick little thing between her and Penguin, and she bites Penguin's nose off, which is awesome.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, no, like really chops, takes a bite out of it. He doesn't no longer has a big long honker. So we're going to have some more of Harley, Clayface, God, I can never remember the short midget's name. That's the sexist.
Oh, Dr. Something. I forgot his name.
And we're going to have the rest coming out in Fred the Plant. So make sure you guys do get
Fred.
Check out the first season so you're ready for season 2, because it is.
Dr. Psycho.
Thank you very much. But so yeah, guys, make sure you do check that out. It's it looks great, and hopefully we'll see the return of somebody soon.
Yeah, somebody who kind of sort of died.
Yeah,
well, we won't I'm sure. About
that. Yeah. We won't All right, guys. That. So that is the end of the admissions ward. All right. Well, I guess this was sort of your idea, because we hadn't really had much ideas. We're changing up the format, kind of going back to what we started with sort of an idea subject. And this is sort of a behind the scenes thing Kane and I do when we sit around our local drinking establishment, the Winchester. And we kick around ideas. And one of the ideas Kane kicked around, to take it away, man. What do you got?
I thought about this idea actually a couple of years ago when I was working at another warehouse. And it was an idea that I was kicking around with a couple of coworkers of mine. And actually, when we were there, we took a certain wrestling character and we kind of created a whole story behind him. And, you know, I was like, well, these guys are larger than life characters on screen, but how could they translate into a comic or maybe a movie? And that's the whole pre-basis for this entire subject for the Heroes of Silent today is best wrestling gimmicks that could translate into a comic book or a film. And I got a couple written down here. And I feel that these, I only got four, maybe a fifth one to come up during these broadcasts. But I think these four, especially the ideas that I wrote down, I think they could translate really, really well. And the first one I got is a character called Rosemary. She comes from Total Nonstop Action, which is TNA Wrestling. Her gimmick is basically as an undead bride. She's almost like the female Undertaker, but she takes it to the next level, I think. Basically sort of like a reanimated corpse type of zombie woman. And I thought, like, she could fit so well in, like, that creepy area of the DC world, basically being, like, the mistress of somebody, and her power could be she brings the dead back to life and just uses it as an army to attack whoever. That's one of the first ones I thought about right away. And you could put her in the Justice League dark area and the Constantines and the Deadmans and, you know, the Etrickans. That was the basis of this character that I thought about. I'm like, oh, she could be really cool. Now, she's not really much of a talker, but, you know, you could use a character like that, that spooky, weird area. Even Marvel, you could put her in there too. I mean, she could really just translate really well, especially with her kind of undepth, reanimated type of powers that she could have.
I know who you're talking about there, because she had her and there was like another, I think it was like a very small stable, I think, that she had for a little bit on TNA.
Yep.
I always wanted to have her in an Embray mix, because I thought that their chemistry would have been amazing. And again, that we falling into that same genre of transferring that into the comic book world. You know, I almost thought that they were going to try to bring her in as Sister Abigail at one point, have her, you know, be his Sister Abigail and actually be a person, not just be Sister Abigail, but actually be realized that she's real. She's not there to just mess with him and to cause his problems. You know, she's there to, you know, that she's really there. She can not just mess with him, but she can mess with everybody.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a good idea too.
Because there was talk a while ago about her, you know, not sure about her future at TNA, and there was, you know, talk with TNA going away, and I was like, man, get her over, please, get her over to WWE and work, because it was right around when Bray was starting to like get a little shaky and the family was starting to fall apart, and I thought that would be awesome just to bring her in to be like, go ahead and let the boys go off by themselves, let the other guys do their thing, bring her in as, you know, his manager basically, but yet she could be a dangerous manager.
Yeah. Who was that girl that was with CM Punk years ago when he had his
the ball hitting kick?
When he was doing his old like Jesus type of gimmick. That was another good one. Like, she could be something like that, fighting the women's division, add that creepy element. Because I think the one thing in WWE is most of their women, yeah, they're great athletes, but they just don't have like a cool gimmick. Like, everybody else is kind of bland. You know, Becky is what she is. She's kind of the badass, but everybody else is sort of like on the same. Almost the same wavelength. There's like nobody that they don't really stand out from one another. They're just basically the same. I mean, you have a couple here or there who are like decent. I think this new one that's on SmackDown, she does like this Army Navy gimmick or something. She's okay. But like everybody else is kind of like cookie cutter. They're almost like the same. You can't really tell them apart. And I think that a Rosemary could like just add something so different to that women's division.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they need some, just a little change to make it, to freshen it up. That was Serena, by the way. She was part of the Straight Edge Society with him. Wow, really attractive with her hair. I always just saw her with her long, with her hair short.
Oh, really? I have to look that up then.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I guess like following, you know, my choice would be also Bray. You know, to go with that. I know they've really had a Bray comic book already, because WWE does have a listing of comic book runs that they've done, primarily with Valiant comic books. They had the Battlefront or Battlemania series. And then they had a run with a Chaos. There was a Chaos Comics. They had like a run back during the Attitude Era. But to fall into that realm, I can definitely see them picking up Bray. Did you ever play the online game? It was a WWE online game. And they were all like sort of mystical creatures.
No, I didn't play that one. The only ones I played were the 2K games.
It was actually kind of fun. I mean, just because it was it was loosely based off of the Unreal Engine.
I know they released action figures from that line and they years ago, but no, I Immortals, never really got
that's
into
what it's
it.
Called. That's what it's called. It was it was called Immortals. And they took them all and kind of did what your idea is, but it primarily just stuck to just like the WWE group. But again, I think mostly mine would be leaning more towards the darker sides. I know they've already done an Undertaker one, but definitely Bray would be my choice. And again, just spend more time in how he became what he became, almost a preacher-esque vibe.
Yeah, like the cult leader, like what he should have been.
But
like,
what caused him to get to where he is? We've always heard the story. We've always heard like hints of a story, but we've never gotten a full layout. And again, it's one of the things you and I was talking about. I don't need to know how the donuts are made. But I think in that, in his point, what caused his journey to twist and turn to what he eventually became?
You could use a lot of engines for that. Like maybe you could use like one of the normals that used before. Maybe he was an abused child living in a shattered home, and he lived in the swamps, and he came into contact with these, you know, hillbillies or mystics in the swamp, and he sort of had the power of the voice almost, and he could like attract these weird things with his voice. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do.
Yeah. Let me find out who Sister Abigail was. Was she just a loving person down the street that started taking care of him, and he over analyzed hers to be something more powerful? And maybe she's really not what she was. And maybe she was just this sweet old lady that was just trying to take care of the young kid down the street from a broken home. Or
she could have been a witch.
Something worse. You know, maybe she was like, what was the movie that just came out? Mama. You know,
maybe
she was like, hey, come in and hang out with us. And she's like tormenting them and getting them to turn into like these culty things. You know, it's so many variables you can take for not just about his character and what he's doing now, but where did he come from would be a good one.
And then you can even introduce the Fiend too, as like it being like a split personality of him. Like he doesn't even know the Fiend is around. And it was created through this abuse that, you know, Sister Abigail put him through. It was like, it was so abusive, so bad that he had to create this alternate personality just to deal with her. Yeah. And there's Bray Wyatt, the cult leader, and then when things got out of control, there's the Fiend who just takes care of everything else.
I see the Fiend as the Dark Phoenix of him.
Yes, that's exactly how
I see that there's something deeper in him that he keeps it down, but you know what, when it happens, he has to come out. Very Hulk-esque too, you know, if you really want to. I mean, nowadays he's very Hulk-esque because he does the sweater and the hair pullback and all nice, and then something happens, you know, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry kind of situation.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
I got Chris Jericho as the next one, and hear me out with this one. Yeah, I got Chris Jericho, and the idea I have...
Chris Jericho now or Chris Jericho...
I'm talking Chris Jericho now. Okay. I mean, the culmination of Chris Jericho. Like, you could use the rock star element of Chris Jericho because he literally is a rock star. And you can use that, like, that's his front, but maybe he was cursed along the way, and you could use the Lionheart gimmick that maybe later on after shows he becomes this griffin-type creature. It's a curse almost. Like, he's cursed to do this for the rest of his life by some means. Like, he basically picked up this song. I don't know if you ever saw an episode of, I don't know if it was Black Mirror or Twilight Zone, where basically there's this Jimi Hendrix song that was released, right? And if you play it, you can learn how to play guitar, but you basically play it to death because it's one of those things that this doesn't run out. Basically, your hands start bleeding in the episode and the guy died. So in this way, you could use Chris Jericho that he basically is looking for this best song. Oh, I want to do this song. And he writes this great song, but basically he gets this song from the Book of Satan. And as he reads these words, instead of like it becoming lyrics, he thinks they're lyrics that are spouting out of his mouth. It's actually a magical spell unknowns to him. And he turns into this griffin type lion creature at the night. He could wreak havoc and he doesn't even know about it. But when he does try to know about it, he tries to stop it. But he's still trying to balance that rock star career life along with this creature that he becomes along the way.
Almost an Etrigan type thing.
Yes, that's basically what I
was thinking. Like Etrigan, but mixed with more of like a Robert Johnson crossroad demon situation.
Yes.
Where he's like, hey, I want to become a musician. I have to do this. Well, you can if you follow this rule. You know, again, like I said, you follow the Robert Johnson, you know, trope of you know, he signed a deal with the devil, but then had to pay it off. And the only way for Chris to pay it off was at night he became this creature.
Creature, yeah. I was thinking of like a lion, but I thought the lion was too on the nose. So I thought griffin, since the griffin is sort of like a lion.
Yeah, got a lion's head,
combined. Yeah. So I was like, that's a cool little twist thing there. And basically the Demon Etrigan was the basis of it. And I was like, that'd be a cool thing, because the way Jericho goes now, the longer he goes, he just reinvents himself over and over and over again. It just, and it's all good. So you could use a lot of the gimmicks that he's using too. When he went to Japan, he had like a different name. When he painted his face, had that weird hat on. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do with that, especially Jericho. He's like a larger than life character, and he definitely could pull it off. Hell, you could put him in the movie if you want.
Oh, yeah, very true. Yeah. Goodness for me, man. There's so many different ones. A lot of the ones I've kind of thought of already sort of have a dark twist to them to begin with. And I think one that we don't see enough of this character. And I think we need to see more of it. And I think it could be used that way. But Finn Balor, with the character, again, that's the Hulk type situation where he has this in him. He knows it's there. He can do it. Actually, I wouldn't even say Hulk. I would actually kind of go with an Etrigan one there too, because he can summon it by simply saying what he has to say. I know I'm getting ready to you know, face something that's going to be stronger than what I can do now, then let me bring out the demon.
Yeah, it's kind of like the last resort type of thing. Like, you don't want to do it, but when it comes out, here it comes.
But speaking of an Etrigan, but with this one, I would go with this series of Etrigan. I think it was the last demon run that came out. I just got done reading, and I thought it was a really cool twist to Etrigan, was that the demon is the one that's in charge. And Jason Blood was the mask that Jason Blood had a girlfriend. Like in the book, you see that Jason Blood had a girlfriend and they were in love. Well, so he thought she was in love with the demon, not him. And the demon's the one that controlled coming and going. He turned himself back into Jason Blood so he can wander around town and have a normal life. But at night, when he wanted to be with his wife or go out and do things, it was the demons was the one that said the magic words that made Jason turn back, it turned into Etrigan. And I could see that with sort of with a Finn Balor, that it's not Finn. It's the demon that's really in control. And it's, you know, I guess it's an opposite of what we've seen from, you know, like the Hulk and things like that.
That's a different little twist on
that
too.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool twist when I was reading that book. I was like, really? Okay, the girl's in love with Etrigan. She tolerates Jason Blood because Blood's this pompous, you know, aristocrat. She's like, I'm not into him. I'm into the internal demon that he has, that he's nothing but lust, and his heart's in open at all times. You know, he's telling me everything, you know, and is not hiding anything. And I thought that was a good twist. And I could see that with something like a Finn Balor doing that and going back to his original, not the original one, but back during his feud with Seth Rollins. And they were talking about, you know, the killer of, you know, from Seth Rollins, but then Finn was explaining what Finn was and what Balor was, and that kind of,
yeah, and he goes into the secrets of like what a Balor is.
And yeah, and I love together. Yeah, and I was like, that always like, that always held an interest to me when he did that. I was like, man, why do they not build off on that? And then when you kind of mentioned this story, you know, this idea, I was like, well, there, that's the perfect one, because he's already planted the seed in his own wrestling career. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand why they don't do it. It's a long, lengthy painting process. They don't have somebody on staff that paints. He has to find somebody in the town he goes to and like paint him up and everything. So it's an expensive, lengthy process. That's why I understand why he doesn't do it. And he's doing it smart. He's not overexposing that character.
Yeah. Because I think for a while it was kind of overexposed.
At least once a year, I think we saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. Like, just make the anticipation. And then when he brings it out, like, oh, damn, here he comes. Yep. Here's the demon. Like, okay. Oh,
you screwed up.
you messed up. But that'd be an interesting little character to do. Yeah, that's another one. I guess it's my turn. I got one. It's a character. He's relatively new. He's from AEW. His name's Hangman Page. And he basically has a cowboy type of gimmick. My idea with this, gunslinger, and I thought about Magic Gun. Magic Gun, almost like the cult. If you ever watched Supernatural, the cult was the big MacGuffin for the first, I believe, 3 seasons. The cult came back, I think it's season 12, and they destroyed it, which was ridiculous, but whatever, I won't talk about that. But you could use that MacGuffin of him being like almost a cowboy out of time, and basically this gun that's used basically has to track down the greatest villains of all time that have escaped hell. And the only way to stop him is with the magical cult gun, or you can call it the cult, you can call it something else. Maybe it was the gun of Doc Holliday or something. You could use a lot of things. I think Wyoming Earp has used something like that too, but this is a little bit different. This is just a gunslinger out of time. He doesn't know he's out of time, but basically goes through time killing these assailants and throwing them back into hell with his gun. So Hangman Page is another one I thought of. And he could fit well with the DC, like a Jonah Hex world. I thought about that also. He could be like Hex's partner, who knows? But
yeah, throw kind, him in kinda, there. Yeah, kind of the Jonah Hex sort of. Oops, you okay there? Beating up on
yeah,
that?
Sorry about that.
It's okay. But no, kind of the Jonah Hex Winchester kind of vibe, where there he's he doesn't age, but he goes through time and but he's still, you know, he can run into characters like Batman, like Jonah Hex, kind of the outer, just out in the outer rim of society and of the law.
Yeah, basically, he's just hunting these criminals down through time. That's it. He's a cowboy at heart. That's what he is. He just doesn't change. It's always cowboy, straight edge. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. And he could be in the future, and he's still the same. He's hunting these villains down, and basically, he's kind of like a bounty hunter through time. I guess it's the best way I could use it. But I think he would translate pretty well.
I think that would be a good one for him. Let's see here. I had one, and I'm just drawing a blank on the gentleman's name now. Oh, crap. There it is. Sorry. Damien Sandow.
Oh, Damien Sandow. Oh, I remember him.
I believe, and this wouldn't be so much like a superhero type book. It would be more, if anybody's familiar with Grayson Agent, where Dick Grayson, instead of becoming the superhero, he actually started working with the government, and how Damien's character, when he was with Miz, he had to, very similar to what we just talked about in with Black Widow, with the villain from there. I'm just drawing a blank on his name now too. Son of a bitch.
Taskmaster.
Taskmaster, but make Damien, because his thing was that he was the perfect mimicker, and he's able to do that. But he does it more for the government, for the government, that he's able to morph into becoming these. Not just a stunt double like he was, but he can be, take over somebody's identity. And I wish there was a show, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it was Burn Notice or something like that. I think they were kind of doing the same thing.
I think they were doing something similar as that. But that'd be an interesting idea.
My favorite character that he, and it wasn't just him making fun of the Miz, basically mimicking him, but that idea that he could change and to go to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and always be matching that person. And I think a waste of a character, really, when it came down to it, when that ended.
Very wasted. That was a tragedy when he got released. There was so much to be done with that character. Ugh. Vinnie Mac. But yeah, decent idea. I like it. I like it a lot. I guess it's my turn again?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is a pretty wild one, and I just came up with it just now because I didn't have it written down, but I just thought about it after you said something. You could have Goldust and Stardust be like these gods in the DC world. Like, you have the New Gods and Apocalypse and New Genesis and all that. They could be these omnipresent gods who are just out there through time and space. And basically, Darkseid, he wants to get the anti-life equation, right, to start life over again. But these guys were the ones who were the beginning of everything. Like the Big Bang, it was just these two sitting on thrones, floating through space, creating time. But they don't care. They're almost like trickster gods. They're like human life and everything is like so below them. There's like, they're so, I don't care, what's going on with this world. They could be destroyed. It could be eradicated. We could destroy it again and bring it back. But the whole thing is like Darkseid with this anti-life equation, he wants to stop, reinvent life because he wants to be as powerful as these omnipresent gods. And they just don't care. They're lethargic about everything. And like you'd never heard about them. They're like in the lores of all that, like High Fathers, like, these two omnipresent beings, they've been around for so long, no one has ever seen them, but they're powerful out there. We gotta find them before they come over. It could be something so wacky. But the New Gods, when Jack Kirby wrote it, was kind of wacky. So that's why I thought of Stardust. They could be gods in outer space. Why not? They got the look for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they definitely do have to look. I actually, what that was one of the ones I was like, oh, you know, those two together when they were together, that was a very interesting team. Because I mean, there is a lot of comic book references throughout wrestling. I mean, if you watch some of the characters, goodness, just I don't know why I'm just blanking on names for wrestlers right now. Alexa Bliss, you know, there for a long time, she was pulling off, you know, the Harley Quinn look, you know. And then, of course, you have, you know, like Shinsuke Nakamura, who definitely, you know, throws that sort of superhero vibe out.
Mm-hmm.
One, yeah. I think they did a book on, but I don't think it really took off and was very big, but it was The Brood. I'm going to go old school on you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was one out there, but when I looked at, they looked up the Chaos comic books from the Attitude Era, I really only saw like Undertaker, Austin, Mankind, you know, your top guys. But The Brood themselves, not just, you know, Edge and Christian, but looking at Gangrel and his history and what he, where did those characters come from? You know, Edge was the loner on the, you know, the trains, and Christian was his brother. But Gangrel was always that one. He was the vampire one. And then I do know that they had to get the rights for Gangrel from, there was a role-playing game at the time.
Yeah,
that they Vampire Masquerade is what the name was, and they had to, you know, get his, because you'd get the character, you know, the rights to it. But I think they could, that was a just waiting to happen, especially during that time frame. If you guys think it was the 90s, things were a little darker in as far as the pop culture would go. There was more industrial sounds, more end of the world, as far as like not like apocalyptic end of the world, but more like dark and gothic. You know, X-Files were big, Millennium was big. There was something more of a darker tone to the 90s and stuff, and I think they really lost it on something like that.
You could have built the whole thing after that. Music, yeah. Merchandise, it could have been huge.
The music, the entry was just ridiculous, and it was so simple, but and then they just broke that off, and they did, you know, they did bring in the Hardys and stuff. So, you know, as the new brood, and then it just sort of fizzled away, but they could have still stuck with that. Cause that was one of those weird gimmicks that the WWE was just breaking out of the 80s and the early 90s, where they were all gimmicks. You know, they had to have a vocation, the plumber, the garbage man, you know, you had to be something, the vampire.
Oh God.
But for some reason,
yeah.
I mean, but for some reason, some of those connected, the vampire thing with them connected. God, even the biggest wrestler of the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and still today, was based on a gimmick, the Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know, he was just a gimmick. That for some reason it latched on, his, you know, his quality of work, his storylines, and just his longevity, and that he was, and I think that's, you know, something that they could do. They had those abilities back then to do gimmicks, and they could have built a huge, you know, series of comic books off of that.
Yeah, and just kept it going. I mean, it was, like I said, a lot of things they could have done, but, you know, fizzled out. And that's a shame. But it definitely could translate into the world, like that spooky world we talk about, like another vampire who just attracts more people. And and if they wanted to do it in wrestling, you know, after Edge and Christian left, you know, you could have had new members. I think they did try that, right?
Well, no, they did. The new brood was Matt and Jeff.
Okay.
And that was the spawn.
Wow, I don't even remember that. That's crazy.
Well, originally it was them, then they would, the original, their manager was Michael Cole, Mr. P.S. Hayes. He would come out in the same skin tight outfits that they did.
I remember that.
Ooh. Remember that? And then Gangrel, I think, took over. I think it was that P.S. Hayes, then Gangrel, and then that's where the competition between those two teams like it was brought into, you know, being, and they're like, oh wow, these guys can really work together amazingly.
Yeah, one of the greatest tag teams.
You can't get that image of PSAs where we're in skin tight.
No, I just thought about it, like, oh man, he was wearing those baggy black jeans and sneak.
Yeah, just imagine whatever Jeff and Matt were wearing. PSAs is wearing that.
Oh, frightening. Oh, frightening.
So what do you have?
That's it. I only have those four. Those are the ones that I felt that could translate the best. And I never want to go to five, but four is always solid.
Yeah, we're going to start doing a bit of a good four run. We're going to, behind the scenes, we've been calling them Mount Rushmores, but we're going to start doing some more of these. So look for those down the road. Actually, there was a piece of news I sort of skipped over.
Oops.
We got some time, so I figured, why not? It's not an oops. It was like, I was like, do I want to do this or do I not? There is a report that just dropped earlier this week for a Roberto Orci. I'm probably butchering that last name. Is reported to be in talks to write the next film in the Spider-Verse movie series. This is the gentleman that wrote The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Co-wrote. What do you think of that? Because, I mean, when I look at this guy's record, he did work a lot with Alex Kurtzman. And if anybody's familiar with Alex Kurtzman, he's responsible for some of the Mission Impossible, the Transformers series, the Star Trek for writing, like co-writing.
Oh, that's right.
Pretty much most of the Star, most of the, if so, if you guys aren't a fan of Star Trek, the new Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams, you're not going to be a fan of his because he was a big part of that. He was also a big part of the Michael Bay Transformers, Cowboys and Aliens. The last movie he did in 2017, The Mummy. So he is not, there isn't talks right now of him going to take over for one of these films. And I'm just kind of curious because I know your opinion about this Amazing Spider-Man 2. What do you think about them giving, like, you've always talked about people, you know, these original, you know, first time directors doing something and writers. And here we have a guy that literally money wise, I would say, yes, he's done good, but like, looking back at it, it's been a pretty much a failure. What do you think about doing, letting somebody repeatedly doing this?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all, to be honest. I just get somebody more established, you know, that's me, or get somebody who has a couple more films under his belt.
He's got films under his belt. Again, I just gave you a rundown of Eagle Eye, The Legend of Zorro. Protocol or The Proposal, People Like Us.
I don't know.
Star Trek Beyond. I mean,
I was trying to be kind.
I mean, but he's got a good.
I know. He's got films under his belt.
Even TV shows, Lock and Key, Sleepy Hollow. Actually, the 2011 Lock and Key, the pilot that never got released. I take that back. Sorry.
Okay, I was gonna say he didn't do this one.
No. Limitless. I mean, he's got also television.
He did Limitless.
Yeah, he was an executive producer for Limitless. So, I mean, he's got this, but it's just, to me, when you look back, why would you – I'm just scratching my head. When I saw the name, I'm like, why would they bring him back for one of the biggest flops if you look into the Spider-Man series? That just makes me scratch my head that Sony would give him another shot. Again, it wasn't just him by himself. I definitely want to make sure that everybody understands that. I'm not saying he was the one end-all, be-all. He was a writer. He co-wrote it with Alex Kurtzman, Jeff Pickner, and a James Vanderbilt. So he was the main, let me see. I'm trying to find a movie that he wrote on his own. He's always had co-writers. It's always been him and Alex Kurtzman.
I'm kind of torn. Like, I don't know. Like, I,
well, it's not like a you Spider-Man mentioned a lot of the movie. Film. It's a Spider-Man verse movie, so just like Morbius is coming out, it's going to be in that. So it's not going to be direct. He's not going to be doing another Spider-Man movie.
So he's going to do like an offshoot character, Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
He's like a Silver Sable, maybe a Black Hat,
possibly. Bob, possibly. Yeah. It just, all it says is he's reported in talks to write the next film in the Spider-Verse, and of course that doesn't mean Spider-Man. It means whatever, you know, the Venom.
I guess it would depend what character he's going to do.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you want me to put a little bit of a positive spin, like,
I want to get your opinion.
Like, because if he does like a Silver Sable, Black Cat, you know, like almost like a throwaway fun movie, I guess he can get away with that. But I just don't want him to touch like any of the really, like a Kraven the Hunter. Like, I don't want him touching that.
I think Kraven's already been written, so I don't think we're worried about that unless they're pulling the script on that, and that's why they're looking for.
Just don't put him on Kraven, don't put him on something serious like that. But if he wants to be goofy, off the wall.
Well, I don't know if they're going to do goofy. I mean, right now their dream is to build up the Sinister Six, so every film coming out now is going to be a character for that. I believe, because I know that's their epic plan is to eventually have a Sinister Six type movie. Of course, at that point, you know, either, you know, Venom's going to be the hero, or, you know, they're actually going to finally drop the ball and bring Spider-Man in. But that's kind of what we have to look, you know, that's the only thing I'm looking at. It's going to be one of the big dogs. as far as
they really they do not want to give up that Sinister Six thing, do they?
I'm saying I haven't read it, but I know that that was still in the back of their that they've mentioned that in the past, and I have not heard that they're not thinking about that anymore. That's the only reason why. Well, yes. What are the reason to do all of these villain movies? You know, to bring them in as a super group, you know, the Backstreet Boys of Spider-Man villains. I mean,
I guess, I mean, we'll see what they do. I mean, I guess I have to wait and see what he does. I mean, everybody deserves a second chance or fourth or fifth chance with this guy, but you know, like, hey,
well, like I said, the last movie I see that he was a writer on was that Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was producer, he was executive producer on Now You See Me 2, Star Trek Beyond, and The Mummy. So no writing there. And then Alias, Fringe, he was a writer, co-writer, you know, co-creator on those. Really? One of my favorite, Fringe? Yeah, one of my favorite Transformers television series from the recently was Transformers Prime. He was, you know, an executive producer there. So like I said, he's got some when it's TV, doesn't seem like he's not killing it there. I mean, he's doing a good job there, but it's the movies. So hopefully maybe he's made a change since he went over.
Yeah, to, maybe he'll hire some other writers to help him out. I mean, like I said, you know, you can learn from your past.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's had those past, right? Cause he's always written with another person. It's never been him. So maybe him writing by himself might be a good thing.
Maybe.
Because he's, you know, I mean, he was uncredited for Watchmen as a script polish. So he was one of those guys that looked at the script, the final script, and kind of made some, you know, cleaned it up.
Cleaned it up a little bit.
So, I mean, it's not that he doesn't have a good record. He's got Watchmen, and they're big movies. It's not like he's written movies that weren't big. But, again, from a fan standpoint, Star Trek and Transformers were not our Star Trek and Transformers. So,
I'm still kind of torn, but give him a shot, I guess.
Okay.
And like I said, it to me, it just depends what character he's going to do. Like, it's, if he's not doing Kraven and he's going to have some help or not have help, and maybe, like I said, maybe time away has helped him out.
Yeah.
If he's in talks, if he's in talks, he's probably close to doing it. It's probably deal is almost done. So, hey, you know, if Sony wants to build this verse up, give it a shot.
That's where they're going. I mean, we've already got, you know, Venom. We've got Venom 2 coming. We've got Morbius in a couple of months. We have Kraven definitely down the pike. So, and they're bringing in these returning characters for this. So, I mean, we already saw, you know, Michael Keaton coming back as in a cameo. So.
And Tom Holland only has like two more films left in the MCU. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They're going to build up that they're going to build this universe up to where Spider-Man can just get dropped.
Yep. He's just going to show up.
Yeah. The thing is Tom Holland's got his agreement is with Marvel and Sony, not just Sony. That's where it's going to be kind of weird. Are they going to change the Spider-Man actor? Hopefully, if he's smart, he'll stick to it. But again, actors do things.
Yeah, you said it very well. They do things.
They do things and for whatever things. So, but guys, that is the end of our show. No polls this week. Well, I think next week we're going to do a full massive poll. Because I really got a feeling this next week or so is going to be really slow in the news genre. So I know Kane and I have been like sitting on some comic book runs and recent polls. So what I think next week's going to be our big massive one. And I have to throw an apology out there to any of our listeners. I kind of dropped the ball on the watch along or the reviews of the Star Wars Clone Wars season seven. Sorry, I had a conference I went to, convention I went to, and then this week got away from you. So I am going to try my hardest to get back into doing these for you guys. It seemed like we had a lot of listeners that enjoyed the first run. So I'm going to try to get back in. I know I've only missed two episodes, so hopefully we can get back in and get caught up. I do apologize again if anybody was looking forward to those.
Yeah, they're really good, by the way. You guys should check it out. It's really well done, and the captain's very knowledgeable on the Clone Wars subject.
So. All right, guys. Yeah. So that is it. So we are going to end the show here. We will have, like I said, we'll get some news out to you guys more about the coming of the convention again at Kaiser and some more events that we're going to be doing. There are, again, changes coming down. Kane and I have some big social media changes coming down for you guys. So hopefully you guys enjoy them. Check them out. Tell us if you like them. Tell us if you don't. We listen. So just let us know and check. Make sure it's on our Facebook and our Twitter. We're going to maybe retire the other one for a little bit. So
yeah, just put in hibernation for a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. All right, guys. So that is it. Make sure you guys do see us. Check us out on Heroes Asylum, Midnight Movies. Don't forget, I already talked to you about that. Make sure you check it out. And then, of course, Kane, you know, will explain the rest as we leave.
Twitter at Heroes Asylum. And, of course, the Facebook page is the Heroes Asylum. And as always, Captain Mike has said eloquently, Midnight Movies is its own separate entity and page. It is a labor of love that I do. And the captain joins in. We have a lot of fun. There's about 30 reviews up there, maybe 35, 40. I don't know. There's tons of stuff in there. It's just a great ball. It's a giant ball of fun. If you want, get some friends, get some liquor, sit there and watch, laugh, hear it. We got to hear our pontifications of these great movies that we watch. And as always, from the captain and to me and to you guys out there, get to the asylum.
All right, guys. See you next week. Wash your hands and wash your ass. Bye.